I want to welcome you to this first session of our class together, and we're going to start out this evening with a mindfulness meditation. And so just place everything down and find that place where you're fully supported in the chair, where your body is relaxed and your mind is alert. And as always, as we've done in the past, you simply begin by bringing your awareness to the breath. Turning away from the outer world and coming present to yourself within. Bringing your awareness to the breath. And now what I'd like to have you do as you begin to inhale, I want you to silently say, I am. And as you exhale, silently say, here now. I am here now. I am here now. I am here now. And when the mind wanders, simply bring your awareness back to the breath. I am here now. And now with this centered focus, we will begin with a God song chant.
The love that I am. God's the love that I am. God's the love I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love I am. God's the love I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love I am, God's the love that I am, God's the God's the love I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love that I am, God's the love that I am, God's the
And so it is in this most holy and sacred moment that we have come to the high altar of consciousness, this altar of grace, to enter into divine communion in the presence of the living God that is Christ. And it is here that we know that there is only one life. And this life is God, and this life is good. And this life is individualized in each one of us as the living Christ of our being. And so in this holy moment, I call forth the spirit of Paramahansa Yogananda and Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, to bring forth their exalted anointing coupled with that of Jesus Christ, to open our hearts that we may feel, to open our eyes that we may see, and to open our ears that we may hear all that has been prepared for us. And so I know that all that needs to be given this night and all that needs to be received is done. It is done for the glory of God and the revelation of the kingdom of heaven right here and right now. And so I surrender my tongue to the Holy Spirit, that the words, the sweet words that are the elixir of truth, are spoken through me in such a way that there is raising up here and that there is healing. And all of this is done according to the truth and the power and the presence of the living God that is Christ, right here and right now. Amen. Okay. Let's begin by turning to page 1 in your syllabus. The covenant for this class, the scriptural foundation for our work together, and as you've heard me say before, we create a covenant for all of the work that we've done in the ministry over these last 15 years. And a covenant is simply where we come together in agreement and consensus for our being together. In fact, we're practicing that scripture, that great scripture from Matthew, that where two or three agree as touching anything on earth. It is done by my Father in heaven. It's done by the creative process of life flowing through each one of us individually. And what I have seen over the years is that whenever I've come into agreement with another about something for a higher purpose, a way is always given, a way is shown. And so the power is in our agreement tonight as we come together with great clarity and intention for the sacred covenant for this course. the second coming of Christ. And the scripture that is the foundation for this class this year is from Paramahansa Yogananda when he writes, "These teachings have been sent to explain the truth as Jesus intended it to be known in the world, not to give a new Christianity, but to give the real Christ teaching, how to become like Christ, how to resurrect the eternal Christ within oneself." And so our purpose is love, an awareness of oneness. In other words, this is the quality of God that we want to make real in flesh in our experience of life throughout this year. We want to come to know love more fully than we've ever known it before. We want to come to know love, the love to which there is no opposite, and have this divine love have its way through us in greater and fuller ways, so that we know it as a reality, as strong as we know the presence of this table that we're sitting around. In other words, I want us to have more faith in the invisible presence of love than we do in the reality of this table. That is our high calling for this class. Our vision is bringing heaven to earth. This is the great promise. The great promise of all of the holy men and sages, the holy ones from all time, beginning with the earliest Eastern teachings, all the way up through the beginning of Judaism and Christianity and beyond. That everything built upon the revelation that had gone before. And the final revelation of understanding came through Jesus when he proclaimed a new heaven and a new earth and said, heaven is at hand. That heaven is right here, right now among us. And so the way that we see love moving through us is as heaven before us. And so I don't know how it's going to happen for each one of us, but my intention is that we have heavenly experiences around this table. And that as you go forth and work in this material and do your practices and do your ministries and your work and your calling out in the world, that there will be moments and times in which you will stand witness to a heavenly experience within yourself and with others. And so I've set forth three intentions for our class this year. The first one is to enter into a greater understanding of the principles that support the enlightenment of my soul and the resurrection of my flesh. The second one, to engage in real spiritual practice for the revelation of my wholeness in Christ. And over again, if we look at the Gospels, and we're going to be looking at them this year through Yogananda's Eastern perspective, so we're going to be entering into a new doorway into the Gospels, and the sweetness with which he writes, that there's just going to be this opening in a new way for us. And if we, when we come to all of those places in the Gospels where Jesus healed. He healed them all. Over and over again, he healed them all. And he said over and over again, thy faith has made thee whole. And so this year is about developing a firmer and stronger foundation of faith than what you've ever experienced before. Because we have to remember, Jesus didn't say, God healed you. He didn't say universal intelligence healed you. He didn't say the rock that you touched healed you. When he said that, thy faith has made thee whole, what he was pointing to is that you did something inside. You brought something to the altar. You brought something to the table. Out of your intention, out of your faith, the healing could be revealed. And so I would say that to all of us around the table tonight, myself included, that what we bring to this table is the exact ingredient that will allow love to heal us. And so let me just pause there for a minute and see if anyone has anything to ask or say about our purpose, vision, and intentions for all of us to be in full and abiding agreement with them. I'm reminded in the Acts of the Apostles where over and over again it's written that when the disciples, and this is after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus, that when the disciples gathered together, and it's written that when they came together in one accord, many miracles occurred. And coming together in one accord is coming together in agreement. And that's exactly what we're doing with the covenant. We're coming together in high intention, in one accord. And so I know that out of our purpose love, that many miracles are going to be revealed in our lives. And so how we show our agreement together tonight is by beginning with the scripture and reading the purpose, vision, and intentions aloud together. So let us begin. These teachings have been sent to explain the truth as Jesus intended it to be known in the world. Not to give a new Christianity, but to give the real Christ teaching. How to become like Christ. How to resurrect the eternal Christ within oneself. Our purpose is love, an awareness of oneness. Our vision is bringing heaven to earth. My intentions for this class are to enter into greater understanding of the principles that support the enlightenment of my soul and the resurrection of my flesh, to engage in real spiritual practice for the revelation of my wholeness in Christ, to experience Jesus Christ come again as my life. And on your covenant, there's a room for an intention for yourself and one for others. And so right now I'd like to take you in a slight process, a short process, so that you can be guided in what you want to claim for yourself as well as what you want to claim for others. And so once again, let us begin to surrender our awareness back into the breath, coming present to ourselves through the breath. And just allow your breathing to become slightly fuller and more balanced. Becoming more consciously aware with every breath that you take. And now allow your breath to serve as a passageway to move your awareness deep into the cave of your heart. And with your awareness resting in your heart, you begin to see with the eye of the heart, the eye of love. And in this awareness, call forth that illumined presence of the wisdom of Christ to guide you and to show you that which you are to claim for yourself as your intention in this class. And also that which you want to hold as witness for others. Do this silently now. Ask for the guidance. And now when you have a sense of what intentions you want to add to your covenant, give thanks for what's been revealed. And taking a deep breath, feeling your feet on the floor and your body in the chair, bring your awareness back to the covenant and add your intentions and also sign it and put today's date, for this now becomes your covenant for our class together. And then, And now I want to give Bob an opportunity to stand and read his two intentions, and then we'll enter into one accord with him in agreement with the agreement prayer. Okay, Bob.
My intention, further intention, as a member of this class, is to have a greater understanding of the Christ presence within, and to allow the fullness of joy and love to be expressed through me.
I hear you, I see you, I agree with you, and the Christ in me supports your intentions with love. Amen. Thank you. Okay, I want to speak a few moments about the books and some additional books I want to just bring to your awareness. Of course, we're using Paramahansa Yogananda's two-volume set, The Second Coming of Christ. And as you know, we may not get very far even in the first volume this year. We may decide to go on for several years, but in that process, we will come to know the exalted consciousness from which he wrote from. And so we're going to beginning there as our class text, so to speak. I would also recommend, if you want to have a greater understanding of Yogananda, his classic autobiography of a yogi is his story, his childhood, how he met his guru, all of his preparation, the whole story of him coming to the United States and starting Self-Realization Fellowship. It's a wonderful read. I had not read it in about 20 years, and so I got a new copy and reread it. And it got me back into the spirit of Yogananda, and just I saw again with new eyes from what I had read before. Also, he speaks in our textbook as well as in depth in his autobiography about his guru, Sri Yukteswar. And it was through Sri Yukteswar that Yogananda was given his education to study the Gospels of Jesus Christ. And one of the great contributions that Sri Yukteswar gave was this little book called The Holy Science. And in this book, he pulls out the teachings of Jesus and how they're connected to the ancient Vedic teachings of Hinduism. And so it is a wonderful little comparison, and you'll hear and see and read Yogananda making reference to this volume, that this is where he started his study of Jesus. And that's available on the SRF website. It's difficult to enter into the eyes of the East without having studied the Bhagavad Gita. The Gita is the holy scripture of Hinduism. And it means the song of love or the song of God. And I want to speak to a couple of different ways to enter the Gita. Later on in this course, we're going to be looking at one of the specific chapters out of the Gita. But if you haven't read it, I want to give you a couple of different ways to enter into it. One is, and this is one of my favorites for this particular way of entering into it. This is just the basic Penguin Classic. I mean, you can see it's not a very big book. It's a poem is what it is, really. And yet people have spent their lifetime studying this to just begin to touch the wisdom that's contained in the words of this epic poem. But in this particular book, there is an extensive introduction, and then you just have all of the chapters of the Gita. And so in this book, I have read this introduction many, many times, because in it, the person who did this translation, Juan Marcaro, I loved what he had to say in it. And I'll be probably touching on it later, because he not only quotes Jesus, he quotes St. John of the Cross, he quotes St. Teresa, He quotes Socrates in bringing forth the light that's in the Gita. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful beginning foundation for the understanding of the teachings of the East and the teachings of the West, and a place in which they're pointing to that is the divine love and the mystical marriage within the soul. And so that's one way to do it. My favorite of all time that I've worked with when I've presented courses on the Gita is Eknath Eswaran's translation. That's Eknath Eswaran. And he's a teacher in Northern California. And what I like about this translation is that there is an introduction, a short introduction that sets the stage for the Gita, but what he does is do an extensive introduction to each chapter. And he has a great sensibility of the Western mind, and so how he sets up each chapter really helps you to understand the chapter. And so that's why when I'm working with an individual chapter, I will use his translation. And then this is one I just got. I didn't actually know that it was available, but this is a new edition of a two-volume set that comes in a beautiful case like the one you had for your textbook here, is Yogananda's translation of the Gita. And so I am just beginning this, and we'll work with it throughout the course of our time together. He calls it the royal science of God realization. I liked that, what Yogananda said about that. Then the other thing that I've drawn extensively from, I don't have the books with me tonight, but in terms of my own work and preparation for this class, is the work of Rudolf Steiner. And Rudolf Steiner did a great interpretation of the Gita and the occult meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. And he also has a beautiful interpretation of the Gospel of John and the Gospel of Mark. Some of these are out of print, but it is forming the foundation of some of the things that I'm going to bring in. And Steiner was, you know, the great adept that came from Austria and taught in Germany at about the same time as Yogananda lived and the same time as Ernest Holmes lived. Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science, and Yogananda were contemporaries in Southern California. And I believe they knew each other. There were many students at that time who studied with both of them. And so Steiner's work that was taking place about the same time over in Europe, weaving them together, we get to see how different individuals were bringing forth the same teachings at the same period of our history. And, of course, Emma Curtis Hopkins, which many of you have studied, the great American mystic, she lived at this a little bit earlier than these other three, but her teaching speaks to exactly what we're going to be working with here, too.